6, Roosevelt Lake Regulation Update, briefing and public hearing. So I will turn it over to you, Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, for having me here today. This is an issue that came before you earlier this winter in the form of a petition, and I was going to give you an update on where we are with it today. And apparently, I need to talk louder. So give you an update on where we are with it today and maybe a little change of pace here as we're moving into resident salmonids, native fishes up in the upper Columbia Basin. The subject then today is Lake Roosevelt Red Bend Trout Rule. There was a petition that came before the commission in the winter months from the Colville Tribe, which is one of our co-managers up in that portion of the basin, to look at adjusting trout harvest rules in the fishery to reduce disproportionate harvest of some certain stocks of red band trout in the reservoir. In that write-up, which I believe you've all seen, what the co-managers did identify is that roughly 20% of the total harvest in the reservoir over an annual basis is wild origin, and disproportionate to that, about 50% of that 20% comes out of the Sampoil River, which is on the Colville Tribal Reservation, which is why it's of interest to them to pursue this petition to begin with. Just to shape the fishery for you so you understand, Of the trout that are available in the reservoir, both Department of Fish and Wildlife and the two co-managers participated in an enhancement program of roughly 750,000 hatchery adipose clipped all triploid fish that are stocked into that fishery annually. So those fish are available for harvest as well as wild red bands. In looking at the petition, we received it in January. In March, we came to the petition to the commission to review the fact that we had received that petition. At that point, we were instructed as staff to go back and look at potential options and take public comment on those options. So in June, we held a public meeting in Spokane to let anglers come in and tell us what they felt the rule should look like. In July, that public comment ended in July 25th, and we're here today in August to review that public comment with the commission, as well as take any public comment here at this commission meeting if there are individuals present. In September, I will sit down with all public comment that we received, go through it with the co-managers, and come back to you in October with a final rule recommendation that we can agree upon as the three managers on the reservoir, and hopefully come up with something that's a conservation-based rule that allows for a large amount of recreational opportunity. So the options that we put out for public comment both in June and then running through July and that are available for comment today as well, option one is no action. The no action rule for Lake Roosevelt is a 5 trout daily limit. No more than 2 can be over 20 inches in length, but there is no restriction on the number of wild fish that can be in that harvest. A little bit of complexity that's added to that is that there's also a closure in the Sampoil Arm, which is adjacent to the Colville Reservation. That closure is to protect staging red bands prior to when they move into the river to spawn. Option two is what came to us from the Colville Tribe. That was to increase the daily bag limit to 10 hatchery fish. No more than one of those could be a wild trout, and it had to be greater than 18 inches in length. And then extending the closure in the Sampoil Arm. The logic behind the no more than one 18 inches in length or greater was to reduce that 20% harvest rate that we currently see in the fishery by about 50%. And the length limit was to allow those fish that we harvest that are wild to spawn once prior to their harvest. That paradigm is consistent with what we do in all stream rules. Our length limits are set in streams to assure that fish spawn once prior to harvest. And then option three is one that we submitted as staff that essentially has a rule from Grand Coulee Dam to Northport Bridge, which is basically the lake-like portion of Lake Roosevelt, where we would have a daily limit of 5 hatchery trout, allowing no harvest of wild fish. And then from Northport Bridge to the Canadian border, allow a stream paradigm harvest regime up there, a daily limit of 2 trout, regardless of origin, either hatchery or wild, with a minimum size of 18 inches. These three options then were put out on a website landing page through our WDFW website, and also were sent to anybody that didn't have electronic access so that they could send us comment back, both written and through email, to our staff in Region 1 to consider their issues prior to implementation of a rule. And the public comment, like I said earlier, ended July 5th. Surprisingly, we got very little comment. I thought we would see more. Of the 20 comments, you can see option 1, no action, was preferred. Option 6 in the middle, and option 3 there, we got 5. So it appears to me that whatever we do, 60% of the people are going to be unhappy, which is a bit of a tough spot. So we will work with our co-managers to try to mix and match those three options and find our best marching orders forward from that point. And just to give you a basic synopsis of what we saw in quotes from our constituents, leave it alone. It's already a great fishery. Some support a 10 trout fish bag, and they do support extending the closure. Some like option 3 with just 5 hatchery fish. There are others that did say that they wanted to continue to harvest wild fish because they're the only large fish in the reservoir. And anglers want some trout harvest in the upper reservoir, so the free-flowing reach that we talked about, but they would also ask us to be more protective of those wild stocks that exist up there. So again, all over the board, a little bit of a challenge here as we move forward with coming to you with a recommendation. And next steps for us, take the public comment that we've heard from the website and some that we've received just in analog write-ins, as well as what we hear today, which I don't think we have anybody here today to testify, so take the written comment that we've already received and come back to you October 7th, and I believe it's a conference call, to give you a final recommendation that we will have vetted through the co-managers and get some agreement on at that point.
Yes.
Thanks.
Chris, I can't remember whether we discussed this when we talked about the petition, and I realized the sandpoil was what kind of generated the concern on the part of the Colvilles. Are the Spokanes in agreement with the Colvilles' proposal?
Typically, the tribes come to us as two individuals that have coalesced their ideas before they roll it out to us. So yes, they are in agreement from the perspective that we need to control some of this differential harvest on sensitive stocks in the reservoir, which we, by the way, do not disagree with. And one of the reasons why this petition's there is because we did encourage to find a way to get this through the rule process. Having said that, where we are in a disagreement as the three co-managers is that the Spokanes have requested a 10 fish bag limit versus the Colvilles requesting a 5 fish bag, and we're trying to find the place between the two rocks to land that could be an appropriate compromise.
How about 7.5?
Well, it could potentially be 7.5, although that half is always tough to offer up. The reason that the Spokanes would support a 10 fish bag limit is that there are some harvest goals associated with that very large 750,000 mitigation program funded by Bonneville, and those goals are very difficult to achieve because of the dynamics of Lake Roosevelt being a very large reservoir with large drawdowns and some years great survival and some years poor survival, and they would like to see a greater harvest of that mitigation program. However, we have to kind of counterbalance that with the fact that the longer you leave anglers on that reservoir, the higher the encounter rates with wild fish will be, and those hooking mortalities may actually lead to higher rates of mortality for wild red bands in the future. And so we have some work to do between the two co-managers and the state of Washington to get to a compromise before we come to you in October. But I'm confident, given the fact that we have a very good relationship amongst the three of us, that we'll get there. there was a reminder that was given to me, and I didn't bring it up, and it is related to this. We did receive a petition related to Lake Roosevelt tributaries that came to us on August 1st, which is a rule request that will interweave quite well with this current process that we're talking about. So in the end, when I come back to you in October, we'll be talking about two petitions that ultimately will lead to one rule set recommendation. So if we do get some confusion in October about two petitions, that's why. This one is more related to tributaries and the free-flowing reach and some opportunity for a fishery, both harvest and non-harvest, in those tributaries.
Okay. They did change species on you, but a few years ago we were approached, I don't remember exactly how it came, by the tribe relative to walleye, and we subsequently raised the limit to 16 walleye in the lake. What progress has been made? How has that changed the population dynamics?
So we did, as you remember, institute a 16-fish bag. Again, to give you some brief history on what occurred there, is the tribes would have preferred to go to no bag. From a social perception perspective, we were not in that boat with them and asked that we went to a 16-fish bag. A 16-fish bag on walleye in any body of water from here through Minnesota is essentially telling an angler there is no limit. And so I can give you some progress on where we're at, because we do have a good creel survey up there, and we monitor harvest day in and day out. We do see 16-fish bags achieved during certain times of the year when those fish are congregated either pre-spawn or post-spawn. And we monitor that with fall walleye index netting, which is a cooperative program across the three entities to look at the abundances of walleye in the reservoir. And we're seeing a slight downtick in those abundances. But the cautionary tale behind warm water fish management is that when you put a rule on those species, it's a decadal process to see those things adjust. And so for us to be able to even sort of tease out a slight downtick at this point would indicate that we potentially could be making some progress in adjusting their abundances. And in the end, the goal that we have as the three managers on that reservoir is we need to substantially reduce the abundances of walleye there to control predation on red band rainbow, kokanee, and some other native catastomids and other minnow species that are essentially getting wiped off the face of the reservoir if we don't get control of predation. So it's a big leap to try to go to that. We've been pushing our anglers to help us control. And it's a challenge because walleye anglers think catch and release is a really good tool to maintain abundances of walleye at sizes and condition that they want. And our opinion is contrary to that. So, it's the balancing act between good biological management and good social management that we're trying to go through.
What's the average size in those walleye?
So average size, Mr. Chair, of walleye in Lake Roosevelt is really small and really skinny. And really small and really skinny would infer the fact that we've got way too many of them. Remember, this is an oligotrophic reservoir to begin with and probably going down in productivity by the day as an aging reservoir. And then put this really dense population of walleye in there, and we're probably seeing average fish 14 to 16 inches, and I'm somewhat pipe cleaner shaped in condition. So
you
it's
need
a
16.
Tough sell to ask people to harvest those. You know, they're looking for the 19 or 20 inch fish that are slightly more robust in size, and I get it, but again, we've got to use our anglers to shape that population as best as possible.
Well, thanks, Chris. I actually had another 15 or 20 questions I was going to ask you, but I want you to get home before dark.
I want to thank Chris for the briefing on this. This is Lake Roosevelt is getting increasing attention with the great kokanee fishery that's going on there right now and has been for a long time. And I appreciate your attention to the rainbow issue with the Colvilles. They're great partners and the Spokanes, and thanks very much. But I wanted to mention, Chris, some pictures that you showed me just prior to the meeting. We have an issue with northern pike. encroaching on this reservoir and invading some other areas. And the eradication of that species is, I know, is a priority for the department and some of its partners and co-managers. And at some point, I would like to get a briefing on what the plan is to curb those that intrusion into Lake Roosevelt, because it's a serious issue.
Big ones?
Well, right now there's just so many, but they have an incredible growth rate. They have plenty of forage. You know, there's a lot to encourage an increase in population and in size, and you know, they're, to my mind, they're fairly attractive species because they're notable sport fish, and maybe there's a program where we can incentivize participation by sport anglers to help with that. But it'd be interesting to see what our options are and where we are with that in the future.
So a brief response. Just so you know, as a department, we've been dealing with pike eradication in the Pend'Oreille River, which is a tributary to Upper Lake Roosevelt. Our stance and policy position on pike in the state of Washington is that pike are not an opportunity. Pike are an invasive species prohibited to be moved around, and we approach that in every place where we find them from that aspect. Some of the things that we've done, both gill-netted pike out of the Pend'Oreille River to the point where we can't find them. And we've also done some rotenone treatments in adjacent lakes in Pend'Oreille County where our constituents have done us the favor of moving them. So most recently then is that they have expanded into Lake Roosevelt, and we are working with the Power Planning Council and Bonneville to secure additional funding with co-managers to set up a removal plan in Lake Roosevelt. And while we're getting that plan put together, we are intensively sampling at this point to try to get a good handle on where reproduction occurs, where these fish are distributed in Upper Lake Roosevelt, and our best approach that we can take for removal. So we are looking into that at this point.
Chris and I got to talk during the break. They're forming a conservation group in our area, and I was invited down, but the person that was speaking for the conservation group didn't realize I was there or who I was, and got a little pointed on a bunch of different things with the department, and one of the major ones was the upcoming fee increase that we're asking for. And he went off for a while, and finally I go, I need to rebut this. And it was priceless, the look on the kid's face when he found out who I was. But that being said, it was a really good opportunity to explain to him what it was based upon, that it wasn't just out of greed, there was some need. And then following a couple days later, they were up in Spokane, and Chris said he also had the opportunity. I really do, you know, I know we all realize we have a pretty heavy load to lift to try and get these passed through, but I do think it's a doable thing as long as we can get out and address these people in some smaller groups, because I noticed a sea change in their room after being able to explain to them what was really going and the reasoning behind it and all the things at play. And Chris's, well, I volunteered him, and then he actually volunteered himself later, that we're going to meet with this group to try and explain to them what's taking place and what's all in play on this whole Columbia River policy. That you need to be, some of the things that were floated to me, I go, guys, you better be awful careful what you're wishing for. You might get it. But it is a pretty complex issue. So I just didn't know if you wanted to add in on anything about it, but... No, I think it's doable, hopefully.
I'll just conclude with our commitment as regional staff with conservation groups in Region 1 is to work forward with them on Wild Future and those things that they can do to help us get that through the political process. And it is related to Pike from the perspective that those individuals need to understand that Wild Future is going to support multiple things in the basin that is perceived as resident fish that could have long-lasting and far-reaching impacts on anadromy well below Chief Joe Dam, which Pike is one of those issues. And so we're hoping that as we get forward in this and find some additional funding, both Bonneville-related and potentially state, that we can deal with some of these really large conservation issues that we're hoping we can keep the horse in the barn in the upper basin and not get it down there where it's going to become a real issue around ESA-listed anadromous fishes.
Well, thank you, Chris. I must say, though, that my upper Midwest roots get mildly upset when I hear pike and walleye talked about in a negative way. But that's all right. I can be reformed.
No negativity intended. We just hope that you want to go back to the upper Midwest if they're your favorite.
Good. Well said.